Before we do something, we don't actually stop and think. You know, what did Prabhupada say about this particular subject matter? And then we don't deeply, you know, look into Prabhupada's teachings about it. Then where's the authorization actually coming from? Now, the current spiritual master we have, or the current devotees that we take shelter, we should expect them to do that. But then they should be able to explain things in terms of the previous acharya's teachings to us. Otherwise, where is their education? We're supposed to be educated to see through the eyes of Shastra. And part of that education, to see through the eyes of Shastra, is how the great acharyas, the great devotees, saw through the eyes of Shastra. Otherwise, what does it mean to see through the eyes of Shastra? So that vision we have to have, otherwise how will we see Krishna? If we can't see through the eyes of Shastra, this world here that Krishna created, how will we see the Creator? If we can't even see the painting, where is the possibility of seeing the painter? So that's our training. Once we think we've become too big, too important, too independent to do that, then we've lost the whole purpose of our society, which is to train everyone. The leaders, all the way down, are all being trained how to see through the eyes of Scripture, how to understand what Krishna's desire is and become an instrument for him through the previous acharyas. So we may do so many things, become recognized in the world in so many different ways, but if we don't please the previous acharyas, that what have we actually accomplished? It's only by the blessings of the spiritual master and the previous acharyas that we can make any spiritual advancement. Prabhupada writes, the secret of spiritual advancement is satisfaction of the self realized. Spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. So when it was actually in Krishna consciousness, who actually is deeply loving Krishna, unless we take shelter of their instructions and really think about very carefully what they wanted. If we miss that, then we've missed everything. If what we do doesn't produce the love of God, then what will it produce? Prema Pramartham Ha. Srimad Bhagavate Pramanam. Prema Pramartham Ha. Srimad Bhagavate Aha. Pramanam Amalam Prema Pramartham Maha. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pramartham Maha. Aradyo Bhagavan Virje Shaitanis Taddama Vrindavanam Ramna Kinshid Upasana Vargena Vakalpita Vadu Raja Vadu Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pramartham Maha. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Idam Tatradaya Napara. Krishna is our worshipful object. Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj, who lives in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is also worshipful to us. And to learn how to worship Krishna, we have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, who gave up everything for Krishna. And to learn how to do that, we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the spotless, most exacting way of doing it. And the goal is prema from Martha Maham, to come to the platform of invoking our dormant love for Krishna again. So this is the chief theme of Lord Chaitanya, in the opinion of his followers. So if we miss that, then what will we accomplish? Folks, it's quite doubtful. Yeah, we may have so many ideas of how to run our society, but we have to have faith in the previous acharyas, that they weren't some, you know, old ancient Indian people who had some old ancient Indian culture. It's the absolute truth. And they gave us the process by which we can create an atmosphere by which most easily we can think of Krishna. So when we create other atmospheres, and create other situations, then it becomes more difficult to think of Krishna in the proper mood. So we have to be careful to follow the instructions. Prabhupada especially, he emphasized preaching as a primary method of actually invoking our love for Krishna. Kirtan is what Sanatana Goswami recommends too. Rupa Goswami is what our previous acharyas recommend. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, our primary method is kirtan. So once we give up kirtan, then everything becomes very dull. The so-called hearing, people don't want, unless we practice what we hear and realize it, then hearing becomes dull. People won't be very interested after some time. So we have to hear it, but we have to hear in order to actually do something practical. Then we'll realize, and Krishna will be there, the acharyas will be there, which is what we're trying to realize, service to them, and they'll give us their association and their blessings, and our life will become gradually more and more perfect, successful. But if we give up kirtan, we give up service and just hear and hear, after a while the hearing will become not very productive and stop hearing. Prabhupada emphasized more than anything, Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta, if one has a life, then they'll preach. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized the same thing. The problem is when we start getting money, then we think all our problems are solved. That why do we have to work so hard and preach so hard and make such a big effort? We have what we need. Complacency. So that's normal. As soon as there's some Lakshmi, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said better to take the marble out from the temples and sell it so we can print books and distribute them. Otherwise people's preaching stops and the realization stops and the hearing even stops, and people will just become agents of color, fight with each other. What do you think?
Yeah, Kali Chela, servants of Kali. It's not easy to take up Kali's mission. Kali's very attractive. And if devotees aren't careful, if they're not guided properly, if they don't keep strict sadhana and associate very closely with other devotees, senior devotees who can give them good guidance, then it's very easy to become deviated, especially in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. You can easily become confused, and pride can become a factor where we think we know what is best, and even perhaps better than what the acharyas have written. We can think that was then, and this is now, and the appropriate situation for today is what I have concocted. I think it is so it must be so. Cheating propensity is there in every age, especially common. So one can easily, if one is not keeping strict sadhana, and if one is not taking shelter very strictly in Prabhupada's teachings, his books, and by hearing from his devotees, then one can very easily become bewildered. And if one is in a leadership position, then this can also affect many others. So many dangers.
So that's sannyas?
Sannyas. Sannyas is a big mystery in our society, Maharaj. There's not so much discussion. I wanted to approach you for two reasons. First, to gain a better understanding of Varnashram in general and Sannyas Ashram in particular. and secondly, to gain better understanding of my own role in the Varnashram system in our society, now and also in the future. So, you mentioned just now that we have to understand Prabhupada's intentions and teachings on all subject matters to gain proper understanding. So, perhaps I wanted to ask you about the sannyas ceremony, all that it entails, what the vows are, what the responsibilities are, what the expectations are. I wanted to ask you about my own doubts of whether I'm a fit candidate now or in the future for sannyas. What is the best for our society? What are the needs of our society? How I can fit in, how others can fit in like this. So perhaps you can give some just brief overview of Prabhupada's, why he was giving sannyas, what the situation was like then when Prabhupada was giving sannyas, how it is different today, if at all, of the need of sannyas.
Of course, you don't only have when Prabhupada was giving sannyas, you have a whole history of Prabhupada giving sannyas. Mm-hmm. And then after that you have a history of after Prabhupada left giving sannyas. Prabhupada, obviously, he gave sannyas for preaching, especially at the beginning, or even at the end. First, the first sannyasi he gave, from my perspective, Kirtananda Maharaj, wasn't from Prabhupada's, inspired by Prabhupada, it was more inspired by Kirtananda. Similarly, after that, then Prabhupada gave sannyas under circumstances when some of his managers seemed to be very attached, excessively attached, even disturbed the society in different ways, and then Prabhupada gave them sannyas and sent them off to preach. And then engaged them, although they created further disturbances, Prabhupada eventually engaged them in the preaching. Then he seems to have recommended that some of his GBC members take sannyas too. When he first made this GBC, they were all householders. But then after a short period of time, he recommended that as many as possible that they could take sannyas. So he seems like Prabhupada was primarily interested in the preaching. And even the management, he didn't want people who were managing to get overly attached. And then when he saw that after some time many, many sannyasis were falling down, and Prabhupada made it gradually more and more strict. And then Prabhupada, of course, he left, and then many of the sannyasis, who were at that time GBC members, they came up with some ideas which were not exactly in Prabhupada's line. They became gurus, and they had a certain conception that if you're a guru, whatever you do is right, rather than because everything you do is right, therefore you're a guru. Therefore it became, instead of actually developing the qualities of a sannyasi, which are based upon fearlessness and purification of one's existence and cultivation of spiritual knowledge, they became more and more absorbed in imitating devotees on a higher platform, trying to act as Uttama Adhikaris when they were actually not on that platform. And the result is that many of our senior sannyasis found themselves in great difficulty. Not only they were being Diksha gurus and GBC members, but they were also sannyasis. So along with their fall down, the most prominent members of our society, along with that diminish the GBC, the gurus, the sannyasis, they all, their prestige and their stature within the society all diminish together. And probably out of all of them, the position of sannyas was most, I don't know, but it was certainly, because their fall downs were basically due to illicit sex, which is the basic vow of sannyas. no sex, no, at least no sex life, actually. Then, after those fall downs, and especially our acharyas, and some desire was there to make the ashram a little bit more thoughtfully, that those who take to that ashram can be considered and assessed a little bit more thoughtfully. Therefore, there was a system developed which is a little bit more careful about who the candidates are and they're assessed and the qualifications are more or less evaluated. So since that time, it seems there are fewer sannyasis, but there's certainly fewer fall downs too. But the same problem is undoubtedly there still. Sannyas and women, sannyas and material affluence, sannyas and prestige, adoration, distinction, don't go very well together. So the same weakness is there as long as the PVC is not strong enough to actually properly regulate the different creatures within the society. As long as the sannyasis become too familiar with women, become overly concerned with material assets and wealth and prestige and position, then we can only expect more difficulties in the future.
Manish, what are the qualifications to take sannyas?
Well, as it stands now, at least in my mind, besides in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says fearlessness, the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, purification of one's existence, abhayam satyasam shudhir, jnana, yoga, vyavyastiti. These are the three things that Krishna mentions as the primary qualifications. And nashritya karma phalam karma karma karotiya sannyasit yogicha nirnira jnana chakriya. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and works as he is obligated is the renounced order of life, and he is a true mystic, and he who likes to find one's own work. So our primary duty in the society is preaching. So a sannyasi must be a leader of the preaching. He has to be pure in his association with all the devotees, especially with women. He has to know what the mission of the previous acharyas are. And he has to be able to think independently, not simply go along with it without any real... due to different pressures. And cooperate. Be able to cooperate with the rest of the society, but not blindly. Therefore, with that that's most of the evaluation. How steady the devotee is in his sadhana, how well he cooperates with the other devotees, how well he's understood the mission of the previous acharyas, is able to practically apply it, how well he's able to communicate with others about that mission, and how well he's able to lead, especially brahmacharis. How pure one is in one's relationship with the other devotees, especially with the ladies. This is high expectations, although the ashram is not as well respected as it was before. In fact, respect in general in this kind is not to the same level it used to be. But still there's some expectations. Unless we actually have very qualified devotees to take up those positions, then we can only expect a lowering of the prestige of the ashram, and therefore the effectiveness will diminish also. The tendency in the Western world is that everyone wants to become the chief. No one wants to become an Indian. At least sometimes it's like that. But those who are generally who are Indians, in the Western world, they think that being an Indian means you don't have to do anything. You can be, you know. But actually, a brahmachari who's mostly engaged in svadhyaya and study, he becomes, by that studying and by practice, because studying means not just study, but also put into practice. In one sense, for one's spiritual advancement, sometimes it's even more, it's a better position. Because one doesn't have to deal with ladies at all, or less. One doesn't have to deal with the prestige and the honor that's given to the ashram. But the facility for traveling and preaching is a little bit less. So brahmachari life can be, have its asset, but it may not, may be a little bit more difficult to travel and preach. Maybe not. As anyone gets older, then automatically the relationships develop in the course of time. And that's really what preaching is. Developed. So brahmachari sannyas, there's not usually so much of a difference between them. The brahmachari is usually a safer ashram, especially in Kali Yuga. Especially when we see that sannyasis, too many sannyasis have gotten married. And even brahmacharis, when they get older, too many of them have gotten married too. So it means in any ashram you have to really remain a servant. You really have to cultivate that consciousness of servant. And it's not that there's any point in our lives we should think I've perfected the art of service. We should always think that I have to be, I'm just trying to learn how to become a servant. I'm learning how to do that by seeing how the other devotee is serving. And as soon as we stop appreciating how the other devotees are serving, then our whole service diminishes gradually. So, to be able to see independently that I'm a servant of the devotees and to actually serve them, serve the previous acharyas and serve Krishna and the devotees, then that division has to be fixed. That's sannyas. And if it's not fixed, then the ashram can overwhelm one. But even more than sannyas is guru. People may not, just being a sannyasi is one thing, but if one becomes a guru, then so much the disciples are thinking, this, my spiritual master is as good as God, so much favorable service and flattery. So those things are exactly the opposite of what the devotee is trying to cultivate. Nor is it like spiritual advancement. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's a good introduction. So regarding the initiation of sannyas, I want to know what are the external characteristics and what are the internal characteristics of initiation?
You probably didn't make any big deal about sannyas initiation. As simple as possible. I mean, you could probably get a better answer from someone like Bhakti Vidya Purnamaraj than you could from me. And the only thing I've seen so far is, you know, new sannyas dress and the danda, offering the danda at the sacrifice, and giving a sannyas mantra. But besides that, besides the danda and the new dress and the sannyas mantra, yeah, I mean the dress, including the kopins and everything. That I don't really.
Do you know what this, why sannyasis are dressed like this and do this and why they carry
them? I know all that we know. I thought you can just read and take that care of the reading.
It's the mind body words, no?
Yeah. Yeah. What was that verse? Tamon Mukundangrini Sevayaiva Aham Turishamit Paranta Dara Mukundangrini Sevayaiva. And I'll cross over this ocean of material existence by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This is proved by all the previous sages, all the devotees. So that's the mood of sannyas. Cross over the ocean of material existence. Prayer Paramatma Nishtha Adyasi Tam Purvatamara Mahadji Aham Turishami Dharanta Param Tamon Mukundangrini Seyoyaiva. As the Brahmin from the Avadhi Dasha Desha said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean meshes by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This is approved by the previous Acharyas who fix and firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
This is a vow?
Yeah. In connection with this verse, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.23.57. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of sannyas is a regular principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. Bhagavad Gita 6.1 is also stated, Anashitya karma palam karyam karma karotiya sannyasi yogi cha. One who works devoutly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyas, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. The word paramatma nishtha means being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Paratma, the Supreme Person, is Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. Those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasis. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress, as previous acharyas did. He also accepts the three dandas. Later, Vishnu Swami considered that accepting the dress of a three dandi was paramatma nishtha. Therefore, sincere devotees add another danda, the jiva danda, to the existing dandas. The Vaishnava sannyasi is known as Tridandi sannyasi. The Mayavadi sannyasi accepts only one danda, not understanding the purpose of Tridanda. Later, many persons in the community of Shiva Swami gave up the Atmanishta, devotional service of the Lord, and followed the path of Sankaracharya. Instead of accepting 108 names, those in the Shiva Swami Sampradaya follow the path of Sankaracharya and accept the 10 names of sannyas. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the then existing order of sannyas, namely Ekadanda, he still recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about the Tridandi sannyas accepted by the Brahmana of Avantipura. Indirectly, he declared that within the Ekadanda, one danda, four dandas existed as one. Accepting Ekadanda sannyas without Paramatma Nishtha, devotional service to Lord Krishna, is not acceptable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In addition, according to the exact regular principles, one should add the jiva danda to the tree danda. These four dandas bound together as one are symbolic of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Because the ekadandi sannyasis of the Mayavadi school are not devoted to the service of Krishna, they try to merge into the Brahman effulgence, which is a marginal position between material and spiritual existence. They accept this impersonal position as liberation. Mayavadi sannyasis, not knowing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a tree dandi, think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an Ekadandi Sannyasi. This is due to their vivarta, bewilderment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no such thing as an ekadandi sannyasi. Indeed, the three dandi sannyasis accept the symbolic representation of the sannyas order. By citing this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadi sannyasis who are enamored of the external energy of the Lord cannot understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following in his footsteps accept the sannyas order and keep the sacred thread and tuft of unshaven hair. The ekadandi sannyasis of the Mayavadi school give up the sacred thread and do not keep any tuft of hair. Therefore, they are unable to understand the purport of tridanda sannyas, and as such, they are not inclined to dedicate their lives to the service of Mukunda. They simply think of merging into the existence of Brahman because of their disgust with material existence. The acharyas who advocate the Daivivanashram, the social order of Chaturvanyam, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, do not accept the proposition of Asura Vanashram, which maintains that the social order of the Varna is indicated by birth. The most intimate devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely Gadadhar Pandit, accepted Tridanda Sannyas and also accepted Madhva Upadhyaya as his Tridanda Sannyasi disciple. It is said from this Madhvacharya, the Sampradaya known in the Western India as Avalabha Sampradaya has begun. Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who is known as a Smrityacharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, later accepted the Tridandi Sannyas order from Tridandi Pada Prabodhananda Saraswati. Although the acceptance of Tridanda Sannyas is not distinctly mentioned in the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, the first verse of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita advocates that one should accept the Tridanda Sannyas order by controlling the six forces. Vacha Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Viva Vegam, Udra Pasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yova Shahita Dira, Sarvama Pingam, Pativim Sasikshat. One who can control the force of speech, mind, anger, belly, tongue, and genitals is known as a Goswami and is competent to accept disciples all over the world. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never accepted the Mayavadi order of sannyas, and for this they cannot be blamed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sridhar Swami, who was a Tridandi sannyasi. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, not understanding Sridhar Swami, sometimes think that Sridhar Swami belonged to the Mayavada Ekadanda sannyas community. Actually, this was not the case.
And Samadhyaya 3.7. Yes.
Does that answer that question?
And what is the internal change of someone who is taking sannyas?
Internal change? As opposed to what? Depends. If you're a householder, it's probably a different change. Mm. If you're a brahmachari. If you're a brahmachari, I don't think there's much of a change. Mm. It's just more of a firm conviction that no more sex life. For a householder, it may be quite a change. Especially if the householder wasn't very strict in his household. In any case, it means no more association with the opposite sex for sense gratification. It means one has to give it up completely. That means profit, adoration, distinction, everything.
When we take Harinam Diksha, we vow to follow four radiative principles, chant 16 rounds. When you take sannyas, is it called sannyas diksha? Is that the correct term?
Yeah, it's diksha.
When you take sannyas diksha, are some vows also being made?
No, more sex life.
Sex life finished. Do you vow for the rest of your life you will never have sex again?
Right.
In a sense, this candidate says, I do.
No, there's no vow like that. No, it's understood.
It's understood.
No more material life. Of course, this is Vanashram. Supposedly is aspiring Vaishnavas. That's our vow anyhow. That's even the vow of Diksha. But it's not broken, the vow of no illicit sex, because one has some possibility of getting married and producing children. Sannyasa means no more of that either. That's the only real difference. But that's quite a difference in the material world, since the whole material world is based on that. In fact, speaking, what happens, what one has to do is, one has to become Krishna conscious. Vishyadha nivartante, niraharasti dehina, rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. Unless one sees a higher taste, how can one give up the lower one? So one has to come to the higher platform, or else one will be forced down to the lower one. And the only higher platform is Yena Tena Pakarina Mana Krishna Nivesha. Somehow or another, fix the mind upon Krishna.
So, what are the correct motivations for sannyas, if someone to take sannyas? What would the proper motivation be?
Cross over this ocean of material existence, I can become a better servant to Mukunda.
What are our society's expectations for a sannyasi? Someone takes sannyas?
I don't know. It's hard to say. There's too many societies nowadays to say. But in general? Even that's hard to say. It's the expectation. But they obviously, they expect a sannyasi to be exemplary, be a good preacher, be able to deal properly with the devotees, be able to spread Krishna consciousness, or convince people about the philosophy and the practices of Krishna consciousness, and have some exemplary behavior, good sadhana. And not to compromise, not to get entangled in politics and diplomacy, be able to speak the truth when it's necessary. Just like a Brahmin, if he's not truthful, how can he be a Brahmin? And about Brahmin, he's a sannyas. A sannyasi has to be able to speak the truth first. He has to be exemplary Brahmin, preacher, and a servant of his spiritual master, the previous acharyas. And a leader also, someone who is prepared to take the lead and give direction by one's behavior and by one's words.
Okay. How is sannyas ashram different from Naistika Brahmachari ashram?
Not everyone is supposed to be a preacher in our society. And if you're in the West, people don't know the difference between a sannyasi and anyone else. There may not be very much difference outside the temple. In the temple, if one is actually a very advanced devotee, it may not make any difference either. But the etiquette may be slightly different at some point. If one is actually an Akshiki Brahmachari, one will become very powerful in devotional service. There really won't be much of a difference. Just some formality goes.
In Shastra, we see that there are four divisions of sannyas order that are mentioned. Do we apply this in our Wisconsin society?
Not really. Mostly we're trying to act in the Parvajakacharya stage, travel and preach. In this age, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends rather than go to a holy place and take Babaji, stay as a Vanaprastha, go to a holy place. Except for preaching, sannyasa is not really recommended in this age.
What about this Kunti or Chak?
Those you stay in the house and your relatives send you some food. And you stay in your house and you go begging around the neighborhood. And, you don't have to be a sannyasi in this age to do that. Maybe it's in some hundreds of years from now when our society actually becomes very developed, maybe these things will be considered. But our main idea is preaching.
Parvajakacharya. So when someone takes sannyas in our society, that is what is expected.
Yeah, sure. That's what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada expected, and that's what our Prabhupada expected. That's what we expect.
I was looking at the Guru Parampara this morning, and I noticed that Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is sannyas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur is sannyas. But not Gorkishodas Babaji, not Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not Jagannath Das Babaji.
Oh, they were more than sannyasis. They were paramahamsas. They also did Gorkishodas Babaji, he was a complete renunciate. There was no question of his being not a sannyasi. He was a Babaji, he was above sannyasi. Bhaktivinoda, and so was Jagannath Das Babaji, they were Babajis. Babaji is a step above, that's paramahamsa sannyas. And even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he also took paramahamsa sannyas. You can say Lord Brahma is not a sannyasi. Most of the acharyas, they were paramahamsa sannyasis at least. And Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he was Nitya Siddha. In the same, or even when he revealed himself, he was a householder, but he was a preacher. He's a self-realized person, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that's where our disciple succession is. Not that one has to be a sannyasi.
Why Bhaktisiddhanta started this again?
Well, he didn't start it again. Babaji is also a state of sannyas. It's Paramahamsa sannyas. Because if you want to spread a worldwide movement, you need preachers. Babajis aren't preachers. Nor are people qualified to become Babajis in this age. It's not practical. Be so-called Babaji and live it radical and unqualified. So purification means kirtan, mostly kirtan. When there's kirtan, automatically there'll be shravana and smarana if there's nice kirtan. So for kirtan, you need sannyasis to lead the kirtan, chant it.
Nice to be brahmacharis also can do that service.
Everyone can do the service. You need people who are actually sannyasis. Not just externally in dress. We're actually dedicated their lives in service to Mukunda, to Krishna. Yeah. That's real sannyasi. Yeah. Then they're actually glorifying Krishna.
Yeah. So, one very senior sannyasi told me that we already have many sannyasis in our society and not so many naistikid brahmacharis, and that our society needs examples of good naistikid brahmacharis even more than sannyasis now, to show younger devotees that there is an additional option open to them in their future besides Grihastha Ashram and Sannyasa Ashram. As we see now, most devotees, they either become Grihasthas or they become Sannyasis. That was the recent perception. So he explained that all the preaching work done by sannyasis can practically be done in Brahmacharya Ashram also. Like he was saying, it may be a little bit more difficult to travel and preach, but if one is determined, one can do. So he said that only if one has a very major leadership role in a zone or country, like he really has a big leadership position, requires to be a leader, would it be required? And he's saying that otherwise it's a great benefit to our society if one can be a good Naishika Brahmachari. Because there are 70 or 80 sannyasis. How many sannyasis we have? Around 80. But not so many Naishika Brahmacharis.
Don't have so many Brahmacharis. What does this mean? The ashram is seated within our society in general. Nor is there very much training or conviction that I should become a Brahmachari. So much mixing between Asta. There's no real fixed up Brahmacharis. People don't have, and sannyas may be too much or unavailable because the qualifications are too high. And that naturally everyone just enters into Grihastha life and suffer. Because they're not qualified to be Grihastha either. So unless you have a strong Brahmachari ashram, then the whole society will be just bewildered. Unqualified people enter into the Grihastha ashram. Or else just leave Krishna consciousness because they're not qualified for their own. So you have to meet strong Brahmacharis and train the other devotees how to actually be, by their example and by their teaching, how to actually be a Brahmachari. And people can live peacefully in the temple and preach and do their service and happy and anxiety, trying to always figure out whether I want to be a Grihastha or a Sannyas. Just be happy in the service. Stane stita shuddhi gitam tana vangma nobhya. Then ye Grihastha jita jito yasya sitai shri lakyam. We were satisfied in our position. And according to the Shastra, what we've heard, then engage our body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, then we'll conquer Krishna. Not just by changing our dress.
So depending on one's consciousness, it might be even more service to our society to try to be a good example of a good Brahmacharya at this time in our society than to try to enter.
Of course.
So many sannyasis are there doing very wonderful service, and very few brahmacharis are there doing wonderful service. So that is a valid argument on
Is it unless there's some tremendous need? Why should we want to change anything? The only thing we want to change is our consciousness. So if we take external changes as being very significant, we don't try and change our consciousness, then we're just wasting our time. First thing we want to change is our consciousness. If we can change that, and everything else will change automatically by Krishna's arrangement. You don't have to worry about these other things. We make a big effort to change our external dress into this and that, and everything's satisfied. It's not what we're trying to really change.
One should be satisfied in whatever position he is in.
We should become Krishna conscious. That should be the change. Not that I'm dissatisfied because, you know, trying to become satisfied. No, if you become Krishna conscious, then we'll become satisfied.
Yeah. What are the differences between sannyasis who go through the four ashrams and those who go from brahmachari ashram into sannyas ashram? Those that go through the four ashrams, they have experienced other aspects of life.
Yeah, in this lifetime. Yeah. You know, we've all gone through the four ashrams many lifetimes. So if one has actually gone through the brahmachari, he's actually fixed in Krishna consciousness, and he takes enough. He's already in previous lifetimes gone through it.
I'm happily living in the brahmachari ashram of Radha Gopinath Mandir. And if I took sannyas, it would create a difference between me and the other inmates of the ashram. That might create a strain in the relationships in the ashram, that I would be different from them. Relations might become more formal. How would accepting sannyas change the nature of relationships with other devotees?
What do you mean? You've already said it.
You also experienced this and see how it works?
It's just normal. I mean, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, before he manifests himself as a great devotee or God himself, and he had an opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas more. And as soon as he became, you know, the leader of the Sankirtan movement, so much service was given to him. Good that he used it in quest of Krishna. This is just a different move. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would serve out prasadam to all the devotees with his own hands, but they wouldn't eat until he actually took prasadam.
So before sannyas, one can offer more menial service, and then after sannyas, it becomes more difficult.
Well, the mood may not change in terms of service. The type of service one renders is different. Otherwise, if you too much, you know, the devotees are, the sannyasi is engaged in too much menial service, as you said, then the devotees may become familiar and may offense also. Mm-hmm. And also, he may have other services to do. Generally, you want to serve the person who's in the higher spiritual position. And if there's not proper relationships, others need to be protected. There's some caution that you do there too.
So some awe and reverence will enter those relationships.
Should be there. Sannyas is too familiar, you won't last very long.
Even with the other brahmacharis?
It could be less there, but there has to be some respect. On his part, I suppose, the mood of affection may be there, but affection usually goes from the superior to the subordinate. And from the subordinate to the superior, it's kripa. From the mercy, from the superior to the subordinate. And the subordinate to the superior, there's the seva. That gets lost and things get confused.
It feels like it would be a rough transition to go from being on the friendship level to suddenly being on the superior level.
Superior doesn't necessarily mean there's no friendship. It's a different, it may be a different movement. I mean, after all, we're instruments. We're not sannyasis, we're not brahmacharis, we're not any of these things, we're just instruments. Nor are we the doer. Therefore, even we want to be, we're just serving Krishna, but he's making the arrangements. What kind of service we're going to render? What's the appropriate? So as soon as one enters into an ashram, he can't change the etiquette of the ashram. There's no power to do that and at the same time be Krishna conscious. Unless one is actually great Paramahamsa. But even then, in the preaching movement, they don't act as Paramahamsa. But even the mood of devotion and service may be there, but still the etiquette has to be maintained.
I have a fear of becoming very much more puffed up with receiving respect giving a sannyasi. I don't know if one could digest this and at a particular stage of advancement and realization.
How does one know if he can? Well, if one does know that, then he could probably handle it. Mm. If one doesn't know it, probably can handle it. I mean, in our society, there's some respect presently shown to sannyasis, but it's not so significant, really. Something. But to any senior creature, there's respect shown. If the devotee is respectful to the other devotees, naturally they're respectful. So we're all trying to be trained up how to see others as probably. Not that, you know. Well, we can actually see each other as Prabhu. There's no problem. Yeah. That mood of service always has to be there. One should be the eternal servant of the previous acharyas. So a guru should always be a servant. Nothing more than that. Not that if I become a sannyasi or whatever my position is, or even if I become a guru, that I don't. It's not that I stop being a servant to my spiritual master. I'm eternally a servant to my spiritual master, nothing more than that. If we haven't understood that, there's no position that's going to help us right now.
Present, I have practically zero interaction with Matajis. But sannyasis are sometimes approached by them for a variety of reasons, like questions, like some questions for them, some other reasons. So I'm reluctant to enter into this sphere of activity.
Yeah, better off not to enter into it. Not necessarily very good. Even they're in the right mood, still, as long as we're conditioned souls, as long as we're not on the bhava platform, we're going to be affected somehow by the material association. And the primary material association is the association of ladies. And especially in the Western world, we're not generally very trained up. Nor are we so trained, so I'm not sure it's a very healthy relationship. And spiritual life. Can be, in the sense that everything is done, in Krishna consciousness. But it's not necessarily like that. Depends on our service. If you go on book distribution in the West, then you have to approach ladies who make up more than half the population. But if one doesn't have a service, there's no necessity, and it's a problem.
I see that those in the Brahmachari ashram, they they can very easily, if they're determined, avoid all association with women, depending, especially in Indian land. But the sannyasis, it's like once you're carrying a danda, suddenly Matajis can...
Oh, not necessarily. They don't approach necessarily to consider sannyasi. They approach the brahmachari still.
Now we have rules against this in the temple.
Yeah, I mean the temple, but other places may not be like that. Especially if the brahmachari is a preacher. Mm-hmm. Chandra, for instance, he travels in Russia. He's a, you know, he's taking, I guess, kind of like vanaprastha and brahmachari. You know, and he preaches to the ladies too. My mantra is a preacher, he's preaching to the ladies too. Brahmacharis are preachers, they also get the same, certain nerves especially. It's almost like being a sin, it's the same thing as being a sannyasi. Generally the ladies approach because they're a guru. Or they may approach, you know, if you're not a preacher, they generally don't approach in the West because, you know, then there's the whole idea, like they're looking for a husband, you're a brahmacharis. So obviously in the West, unless you're a preacher, they want to approach. But if you're a preacher, obviously they're supposed to approach just for philosophical, you know, for Krishna conscious reasons. But women always have to be dealt with very cautiously. Doesn't matter who you are. Even a householder. He's not supposed to sit alone with his mother, his sister, his daughter, in a secluded place. So everyone has to be cautious.
As some very senior brahmacharis warned me that if I was considering sannyas, that Matajis are actually attracted to sannyasis, and I could be putting myself in a dangerous position, attempting to fall down. It's a more dangerous position. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some ladies, not all of them. You know, depends who the lady is. I guess if you're going to shoot them, the Narasuras.
Rhinoceros.
You might as well shoot for the sannyasi. But I don't, not all the ladies are like that. But it may be like that. You know, if one is interested in the ladies, and so, you know, the ladies will take interest in you. Doesn't matter what ashram you're in. And if you're not interested in the ladies, they won't take interest in you. If you're not, neither attached nor averse. Specifically, I mean, very, I think it's quite rare that a lady just goes after a sannyasi. You know, generally, there's some reciprocal relationship there.
Is it appropriate to have a trumpet playing sannyasi?
What do you think?
One very senior sannyasi, he's, when I mentioned this idea to him, that I might be interested in taking sannyasi in the future, he's just scoffed at me. He said, who ever heard of trumpet playing sannyasi?
So what do you think?
My mind is such a raging wind that I cannot trust my own opinions on these matters.
So maybe you should think about it.
See, one can argue in both, on both sides.
What are the arguments on both sides?
Yukta Vairagya, everything can be used in Krishna service. So if something is beneficial for kirtan, design, harana, then you say if you can use computing, trumpet. And we could argue on the other side also that it's not so traditional and it may not get the make a good impression on some people, especially those more inclined to towards traditional presentations of Krishna consciousness, especially following sannyasa.
So what do you think is more apparent in our society nowadays? Who's more appropriate?
I don't have such a big vision. I'm just mostly in my little corner in Maharashtra.
Well, maybe you have to go around and see and get some idea.
Yeah, now I have to go every year, 2-3 months I have to go west.
Well, where do you see most of the sannyasis? How they are?
They're very strict and traditional.
And the ones who, do you find some that aren't so strict?
Traditionally, like there's one sannyasi, he plays an accordion, which is not like a strict Gaudiya Vaishnava instrument, but everyone seems to love him.
Unusual, it's rare.
Yeah.
Who plays an accordion?
Oh, Mahavishnu Swami.
Oh, yes, I'm Harinam.
Yeah, we work in Navadvipa Mandal Parikrama.
Yeah, that's more almost like a harmonium. It's just like a traveling harmonium. That's more or less what it is. So it has some, you know, it's not so different. But maybe one or other sannyasi that I know of is, I think he plays some horn or something or something.
What do you think, Maharaj?
Generally, my inclination is, I don't think in our society, I don't think we know really what tradition is, so we'll have to learn that more. Otherwise, when we do something very different from what our acharyas, at least what they show, the problem is, people said we're not supposed to use the harmonium kirtan. So we may take these things as kind of superficial. Just like nowadays, it's very hard, and even in the kirtan, that the people are actually even meditating on Prabhupada's instructions are, why he gave them. They have so many introductions of so many different things. You know, Koramitananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, all these things. All kinds of mantras thrown in. And, there's no, even, you know, devotees whirling around with their hands and things like that. But sometimes the purpose is all lost, all reason for it. You know. Why? It's not that previous acharyas, they just want to repress everyone. It's not so easy to focus the mind on Krishna. It's very easy to get distracted to other things. That one has to say whether it's what one's that's happened is actually focusing people's mind on Krishna or distracting it from. But I think the best criteria is what to see Prabhupada and what to see what his instructions are and think about what he gave them. And I think we'll see that the problem is quite sensitive. What would actually increase people's devotional love and meditation on Krishna, and what would make distract from it. And Krishna's in our heart, he'll give us intelligence. If you think like that. If we're sensitive to different things. But the leaders, especially the sannyasis, or the gurus, or GVC, or whatever they are, or anyone who's a leader, their first business is to help establish what the previous acharyas did. And to think very carefully about that, why they did it. And before we introduce more elaborate things, we should introduce the simple things first. people should understand the we should all understand the basics, and then we can become a little bit more sophisticated. But it seems like now there's too many of us are rushing to build the top floor, and we haven't really worked very well on the bottom one. As far as kirtan goes, just like there's a certain mood, for instance, in Mangalarti, as far as I understand from Prabhupada's instruction, it should generally be quite, it's a meditative mood. But when everything is, you know, jumping up and down from the beginning of Mangalarti, there's no meditative, deep meditative mood. You know, people get the wrong idea. It's always supposed to be jumping up and down the whole day. Then concentration, meditation, and thoughtfulness. So the acharyas have given us different times of the day to be in different moods also. So we have to see why they've done this thing. In general, you can see it's appropriate in so many different ways. So other things could be introduced, but it should be done very carefully. But I think for now, trying to blend the West, trying to introduce the Western culture based on sense gratification, and full of all kinds of variety of sense gratification, trying to introduce spiritual life into the West, which is also variegatedness, but it also takes some discipline. So trying to blend the two together takes a great deal of thoughtfulness. Sometimes we'll get it right and sometimes we won't. Yena tena pakarena mala krishna nideshaya. Somehow or another fix the mind upon Krishna.
Some practical applications. The GVC has a rule that they can give assignments to sannyasis. In my case, like, if I was to take sannyas, I'm preaching in Maharashtra, and I'm not so enthusiastic about being sent off to China. What is the spirit and application of this rule?
Yes. Someone has to make some judgments. There's a rule that doesn't mean everyone has to be sent away to different assignments. It's possible. Wouldn't matter. It's a depends on the person and the circumstances, what the necessity is.
Has this been rule? It's a new, relatively new rule. Has it been utilized?
Sure, we utilize it sometimes. Why not? Something has to be done. Yes, it's always to do it.
Does the sannyas guru need to be the same as the diksha guru? Why or why not?
In Prabhupada said sannyas guru is a shiksha guru. It's a type of shiksha guru. It doesn't have to be the same. Apparently it will be. It doesn't have to be. Considering that generally the diksha guru should be the primary shiksha guru, but that relationship may change in the course of time.
So who's ever the primary Shiksha Guru, that can most likely?
Maybe. Maybe other considerations, I can't say.
What other considerations can there be?
Too many to get into that. Too many factors. I mean, we have a present understanding of what the diksha and relationship is within our society, and there are volumes for some time. The relation between the diksha and the shiksha gurus, that may evolve, so I wouldn't want to come out with some definitive statement about it. There's already enough variety that just arises out of itself that I don't have to add to it.
If the sannyasi has had difficulty following strictly, and if he gives sannyas to someone else, and that sannyasi who had difficulty gives sannyas to someone else, is it that the person receiving that sannyas may experience more difficulty than if he took sannyas from someone who was stronger, who hadn't had difficulty?
You're talking about people, someone who had difficulty in the past and now they have still have difficulty?
No, someone who had difficulty in the past but now they're okay.
So what's the difference?
Well, I read on Sannyas Conference, because I was local enough when I was a secretary, so yeah. 2-3 years back, that one devotee, I believe it was His Holiness Dhanavir Maharaj, and he wrote one letter suggesting that if someone has difficulty as a sannyasi, that they should not give sannyas diksha.
Yeah, of course, if you have difficulty in anything, why should you become a leader? But if you had it in the past, difficulty, and you don't have a difficulty now, there's no, what is that? It doesn't make any sense.
So there's no,
if you were naked when you were a child, when you grow up, you have to still be naked. No, that's not our process. Is once you become purified. The devotional service takes away parabdha, aparabdha, bija, kuta, everything. When it becomes purified, there's no problem anymore. It doesn't make any difference. Otherwise, then we'd just be into the material concept of life, the asura daiva vanashram. Everything depends on your birth or your previous activities. Well, once you become purified, then you're purified. And even a chandala, if he chants offenselessly the holy name, he gets the respect offered to Lord Brahma. That's our philosophy. And anyone who disobeys that, pichet sidurashara, pajante mama nanyaba, sidurayava samantavya, samyagar vesti isaha, he becomes an offender. He won't make any advancement no matter what he does. Okay?
Yeah, so what is your recommendation for me? What should I do? Should I just stay in Brahmacharya and hope to remain in Brahmacharya like form?
How can you say like that? How old are you now?
37.
Where's the question of life long? How can anyone say what you're going to do for your life? Because for now, what's the... I don't know. How can I say? That's why you have to pass the Bhakti Shastri test, and later on we'll introduce other tests. You have to get recommendations from your local authorities. You have to put forward a questionnaire saying what your services you've done, why you want to take some rest. If the doctor wants to give a diagnosis, he just doesn't look at the patient and say, well, what's wrong with it? He has to have, complete examination and stuff.
But also from this perspective of what we discussed earlier, how there are no brahmacharis in our society now, maybe it would be a higher service to just try to look at brahmacharis.
Well, that's your service now, in any case.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
And that's a very compelling reason to think otherwise. You should just do that service. Otherwise, why do you want to become a sannyasi? What's your reason for wanting to become a sannyasi?
The reason to take sannyasis for preaching, for facility for traveling and preaching, become more receptive to hear from the sannyasi.
Maybe. So that's a good reason. But then you have to wait for the other side. What's the disadvantages of taking a sannyasi? What's the advantage of being a brahmachari?
As a brahmachari, you can inspire others to participate more wholeheartedly in the brahmachari ashram. So you can help train other, be in a position in a brahmachari ashram, or you can help train the other brahmacharis who will become groups. Many will become grihasthas, so you train good future grihastha brahmacharis, and some will stay brahmachari, and some may stay sannyas. So for training devotees, it's a wonderful situation. And you don't have to worry so much about pratishtha and so much puja. And you can avoid the association of energies very much.
So that's good things on both sides. But rather than agitate the mind, just stay in a position, fix our mind on Krishna. Leave it up to Krishna. Our real business is to become Krishna conscious. There's enough distraction without just distracting our mind to change this ashram, that ashram. We have enough distractions anyway. Well, Krishna will arrange with it, that's what he wants. First we just fix our mind on Krishna and anything else will come. That means fixing the mind upon the orders of the acharyas. Become a servant to the acharyas and instrument to the acharyas now. And then we'll be able to, then by their association, everything else will become very clear. We don't care about the ashram, we care about the service. We can serve Krishna in any position. So when you get 50 years old, 60 years old, then it'll become more evident what you're supposed to do. Otherwise, brahmacharis, we shouldn't worry about. If other people are really concerned, there's a really clear need to become a sannyasi, a real clear service. Real clear advantage, then that's different. When we get older and the material desires diminish, there's no question about being stable in that ashram. And we want to utilize it for preaching, because that's what we want to dedicate ourselves to, training and preaching. When we get more experience, then it will become evident what to do. But if it's not clear, then just better to forget about it. Just fix the mind upon the present service. Otherwise, if our present service is not clear, then we won't make any advancement, and things will never become clear. Especially a preacher or a Brahmin has to be peaceful. If they're not peaceful, people won't be able to accept their preaching very well. Anything else?
So, Maharaj, I'd like to thank you so much for enlightening me about the different aspects of sannyasa ashram in our society, in the history of our society, and today, different considerations in the relationships between the different ashrams, and especially the Brahmacharya ashram and Sannyasa ashram. It's a lot of food for thought. I'll meditate very much on this and upon instructions.
Thank you for the opportunity to say something in Prabhupada's service of his mission. Hopefully, things, by being able to say something, I get the opportunity to pray for Krishna's mercy, and I can understand things better too.
It's a very vast subject matter, and many matters more clear in my mind before I walked in to have your darshan tonight.
Well, by your questions, things are clearer in my mind.
Hare Krishna.